We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Trip Cohen, with my co-host, Susan Smith-Vistage. I'd like to introduce Tony Greenfield. Tony is the president of an organization known as AnswerComm. Tony, what is AnswerComm? What kind of stuff are you guys doing?
AnswerComm is a nationwide telephone answering service company that provides the back office communications for many businesses and enterprises throughout the United States.
When you say back office stuff, you're not an answering service, so give us an idea of what kind of stuff you're doing.
Well, we are an answering service conveying the information from the caller to the called, acting to expedite that communication in between in an intelligent format.
Give me an example of one of your clients and how you might be able to help them.
One of my clients is like right here in Philadelphia, when you're driving across the bridge and someone drips paint on your car, there's a phone number to call, which someone you engage someone at my office who transfers the information for you.
All right. How old is this business?
I started this business in 1964, so I'm at it for 50 years.
1964.
Wow.
And had you had previous experience in this industry?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay. So you started a business that you didn't know anything about. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from London.
From London. And did you travel a lot when you were a kid?
Yes. Moved around quite a bit. Various countries between Canada, United States, various locations.
I guess that was pretty easy when you were a kid and you're traveling around. It's pretty exciting stuff and a lot of fun too, huh?
No, it wasn't fun, but I didn't realize it wasn't fun until I was much older.
So what do you think you learned from all that travel that's had a positive effect on your business career?
How to deal with strangers, how to deal with a room full of people you don't know, and not to be concerned about what people think of you.
So you're telling me that in terms of building this business, that's been helpful. Give us an idea, a practical example of how the traveling as a kid has helped you build this business.
It made me seek out some stability to be able to control my own destiny.
Oh, maybe that's the reason you've been at the same business and building it for 50 years, is because you were looking for that stability and security and being able to control your own destiny.
Probably, though I didn't think about it in that concept.
Well, we do interesting things here on this show. So tell us about Mom and Dad. What did they do for a living?
My dad worked in the garment business in London. He was drafted into the British Army in 1940 for the duration. And my mother was a stay-at-home housekeeper. And she looked after me. I had some problems, of course. And then she was had a previous marriage where she had two sons, my older brothers, previously. And made her way during the war years in London, having to scratch around for things.
Did you grow up with these other brothers?
Yes.
So they were both older.
Correct.
But they were half brothers.
Correct.
So you had to sort things out with people as a young boy, huh?
I suppose so, but didn't think about it. It just take each day as it comes.
So when it comes to your own team, you're pretty good at figuring out where people fit on the team.
Yes, I do. In fact, I respect very much the people who work with me for the contribution they make and the responsibility to provide them with a stable place to work and pay their bills.
What was the first job that you ever had, Tony?
I worked as a paper boy when I was 14, delivering a large amount of newspapers.
Did you hire anybody to help you with that, or were you a sole proprietor?
That was solely my responsibility.
What did you do different than all the other kids that did that job?
I had a lot of them.
What do you mean?
I had a lot of customers.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because I needed the income. I was told by my dear mother to go out and make some money.
So you did a lot of hard work getting these customers. I guess you learned how to keep them happy too, huh?
You try your best to keep your customers happy always. There are, of course, it becomes innate after a number of years knowing what to say to people and how to deal with it.
Susan?
Yeah, in the early days, what do you think made you such a strong salesperson?
The need to survive.
Okay.
It's an honest answer.
That's true.
John?
Right.
So, first of all, congratulations on your 50th anniversary.
Thank you.
What got you into this business, or what drove you to start this business in this particular industry?
Yeah, considering you didn't have any experience.
I was looking, I would survey the newspapers for businesses for sale. At that time, I was working as a draftsman. I had been doing that for a number of years, working in California and here in New Jersey. And I was 22 years old, getting married for the first time, and I wanted to be in a business. I just knew that I wanted to be on my own. So I was able to find a company such as mine that had been started by a doctor and a lawyer in the South Jersey area who were had invested money and gone and were going nowhere. So I enticed them into selling it to me on credit.
They sold it to you on credit, so they took back the paper.
That is correct, and I signed the papers and I paid them back every penny.
Why did they do that? Why were they willing to trust you?
I suppose I batted my eyes and sounded sincere.
Yeah, I bet you did, but you took care of them. You paid these guys back.
I've always paid everybody. You have to pay everybody to get through life.
So you had no intention of cheating anybody. You really wanted to do it straight up.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. John, what else are you thinking?
Well, the business itself, how did you learn how to run it? Was it just self-taught? Did anyone help you with that?
I stepped into the business on my first day, and I had a couple of people working there, and I didn't have a clue as to what to do. But, of course, I've always been lucky enough to be able to open a book and learn something. And I studied the issue and spoke to people, and very fortunate along the way to have met many nice people who basically gave me the advice and guidance necessary to have me proceed.
Peter?
Tony, what would you tell a listening young person or others that wants to try and start a business? What one thing would you tell them?
I would tell them to limit their expectations as to how they want to live now, with the idea of focusing their capital upon trying to use it in a way which is positive that will give them a return on their investment.
Mm-hmm. Moomin?
Tony, you mentioned that you were able to build trust with the gentleman that sold you the business. Do you think that has anything to do with you moving around a lot when you were younger, constantly meeting new people, making new friends?
I don't know, but it does make you want to be friendly to people, to be sincere and to be friendly.
Yeah, I think maybe as a kid he wanted to be accepted, so he learned how to sell people on himself. Maybe it has something to do with the fact he was able to sell these investors on him. John, what else do you think?
You know, I think you mentioned in the beginning of the program you have obviously a lot more employees now than you did back then, several hundred if I heard you correctly.
At one time I had several hundred employees. Now I'm down to about 50 employees because I've scaled back some of the size of the operation.
So where did you learn how to manage and grow that many people? At some point, I imagine as an entrepreneur, maybe you were hands-on in the beginning, but at some point you had to delegate?
Innate experience. I've always been very capable of delegating work to do. I remember very early on in business, one of my peers couldn't go anywhere because he had a payroll week coming, and I resolved that problem very early on. After a few years in business, I went on a trip abroad. I was able to do that because the staff worked for me nicely.
So you know how to trust. You trust people.
I suppose, yes, I do.
That's interesting. So you don't think, and I guess you don't think you're the only person that can do it the best way. I think it sounds to me like you really think other people can do it better and you trust them.
Certainly there are people who work for me who are better at their jobs than I would
be. What kind of longevity do you have in your team?
I have some staff that have been there 25 to 30 years.
All right. That's what I figured. Okay, Susan?
I bet you can really give some lessons about how to really give good customer service on the telephone.
Absolutely. I learned very early on that to break down every phone communication is comprised of three factors: who they are, where they are, and why they're calling. No matter how complicated the subject matter is, you have to boil it down to that.
So what's the most important thing someone can be that's one of your employees? What's the most important thing for them to do
to follow the script that's designed for them on the computer and exercise some common sense and good judgment and sensitivity in dealing with the caller, because it's inherently problems that people call about.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, they're ill, they're sick, they're broken down, they had complications, machines are broken. So you have to be sensitive to that.
So that problem that they're having at that time. And how has your business changed really over 50 years? Because technology certainly has changed.
The technology has changed. The human factor has not changed. People still have problems. The technology is we're much more efficient now because we have all the computerized way of handling the phone calls, the voicemail backup, the electronic finger that comes out in the way of text messaging and emails and all that, all expedites the communications. But basically, the human factor is who you are, where you are, and why you're calling, and how can we help you?
So you really enjoy this business. Sounds like you get a lot of personal satisfaction from it.
Yes, I do. I don't work for the return, even though that's part of the important factor.
Mm-hmm.
I work because it's a skill that I've learned and I've become capable with it, and I like to make sure that I do the job the right way.
You think you're ever going to retire?
It's an abstract thought for me.
Why?
I don't know what else I would do.
Really? I mean, you could go to Florida or Tahiti or something.
I do that anyway.
You
I've traveled the world.
Manage. Can you manage from a distance?
Yes, I can. I have good staff that work for me, and I've been all over. We've been to Europe and Australia and Asia, and I
That sounds great. What is the website address for AnswerCom?
The website address is answercom.com and spelled without the W.
Excellent. Susan, can you give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity of hanging out with
today? It's been a great show today, Herb. First, we started with Natalie Lefkovich. She's the Executive Director of Health Federation of Philadelphia. Then Al Thorpe, CFO of Storeroom Solutions. Todd Sager was here with the president of AWE Tuning, and Tony Greenfield, the president at AnswerCom.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-host Susan Smith from Vistage for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.